WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. The first international hit that fused the music of the West and Africa was an infectious tune called Soul Mukasa. The man who wrote and performed it is the African-born, French-educated saxophone player Manu Dibango. This is a new version of that 1972 hit. It appears on Dibango's latest album, Wak Africa. Manu Dibango, now 61 years old, was born in the West African nation of Cameroon. His father was a civil servant during the time his country was a European colony. When Dibango was 15, he went to France to study. He lives there today with his French wife and children. Dibango has been a leader in bringing together wildly divergent musical styles and artists. His new album features musicians from around the world, including King Sunny Ade, Sinead O'Connor, Peter Gabriel, and Yasu Endur. I spoke with Manu Dibango last year when he was touring the States. He told me about the town he grew up in.
Yeah, in that time it was a small, really a small little town nearby the sea in Cameroon. And I grew up to 15 in a family who desired my coming. So they loved me very much, and I had a beautiful childhood. Childhood, you say, no?
Childhood, yeah. Yes. Well, you said you were a child that was loved and wanted. Was that unusual?
Well, somewhere, if you are many women, then you want many children. But if you have only one woman that you need, and you want one, at least one.
So your father had one wife.
Exactly.
And he loved her.
In that time.
Well, now, you went to Paris in 1949, or you went to France in 1949 to study. Mm-hmm. How were you able to do that? How was your family able to arrange that?
Well, you must know that in that time it was normal because we were French, African, or right. African French. So it was not like going to immigration or something like that. So I was lucky to have a family who could pay study for me in France. Yes.
Tell us about first hearing Louis Armstrong on the radio.
In that time, in France, they used to play Armstrong's songs in radio. So the voice was very impressed me, and the way he was playing trumpet. So I fell in love with him in the early 50s. And I started to learn about this African-American music. And so far.
Called jazz, right?
Yes, yes. I was really in love in the early 50s. Yes, I was lucky because in that time there was a lot of performers coming in France, and all the heavies, in fact, they are gone now, except maybe Lionel Hampton.
Now, tell us about the effect on your parents of your... Well, I know that they were interested in you studying philosophy when you were in France, and you obviously were much more interested in music. What was the effect on them?
Well, you can't imagine yourself. they did a lot of sacrifice for people to come to be an important man, you see.
Yes.
And what I chose was only music. And in Africa, everybody can play music, so this is not like doing something seriously.
So they were upset.
Very upset.
Yeah.
which is normal. I can understand mm-hmm. because they were coming for another type of culture, another type of vision of things. We were colonized, and so far they made it very hard to, you see?
Yeah.
To be themselves, so it was not easy for them to understand that there can be some kind of vocation outside of administration and so far.
So they wanted you to go to school, get skills, and then come back to Cameroon?
Of course.
And work?
Of course, which is natural.
Mm-hmm. When you first went back to Africa, which was, what, in the 1950s, late 1950s?
1960s.
Okay, and you went to Zaire.
I went to Zaire for 1 month, and I spent 2 years.
Well, you talked about discovering American jazz in Paris. Mm-hmm. When you went back to Africa in the 60s, I assume that you also, in a sense, rediscovered some of the African sound, the African music.
Yeah, that's true. That I discovered, city's music, urban music, urban African music. And that time there was a lot of African band calling themselves OK Jazz, African Jazz, Circuit Jazz, everything was jazz. But the music itself, at jazz is, people understand the meaning of jazz here. You see, it was different approach.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz start with people playing and people dancing. There was a communion between feet and fingers.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the beginning of jazz in New Orleans, as everybody knows, in Storyville and so far, with people like King Oliver and etc. And later on, Armstrong, who really brought a kind of personality in jazz because he was soloing and so far. But in Africa, what was interesting was this Latin feeling you have in music, because Latin America keep, like Cuba, Brazil, and so far, they keep skins, tam-tam, you see. And here, they didn't allow people in North America to play tam-tam.
So what you found then as a musician coming back to Africa, to Zaire, was you were able to bring some of that music that you heard in Paris,
mm-hmm.
that was
influenced
by American jazz, mm-hmm. bring it and combine it with this kind of big drum sound, the kind of rhythms of Africa.
Yeah, drums and guitars, because mm-hmm. a lot of strings are around guitar in Africa, because of the Portuguese people, they brought guitar in Africa in 14th century. So African people, they start to play guitar in their own way, most close with kora and so far, we are speaking technically. So if you combine that with those drums and the melody, and if you have this type of what I brought from France with between Europe and America, this is a kind of a triangle.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us today on Fresh Air.
You're welcome.
Manu Dibango, his autobiography, 3 Kilos of Coffee, is published by the University of Chicago Press. His latest recording, which is available in the States, is called Wakafrica. This is Fresh Air.